Greetings, friends. Well, today makes the 60th program in our series of studies on the three P's of our profession. So what I'm going to do today is review all 60 of the programs in about 13 minutes. And then what we're going to do is in the last few weeks of this year, we're going to actually respond to questions from our listeners, and then at the beginning of the year we'll resume our discussion on the letters to the seven churches. So today let's go ahead and review the first 60 programs. What we're talking about is the three P's of our profession. And the three P's of our profession, if we are professional Christians, if this is our job, if this is our life, what our whole life is about, if we are truly seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, if this is truly what is first and foremost in our lives, then this is our profession. All right. So the three P's of our profession is number one, preaching. That is preaching the gospel. And the gospel, an easy way to remember it, is what God has done, is doing, and will do through Messiah Yeshua. Then the second P of our profession is preparing. It means preparing disciples. The elders, or the people who are more mature in the faith, must help the disciples mature into profitable servants. That's our job. And then the third P of our profession is providing. It means providing for people, taking care of their spiritual and physical needs. Now, knowing that this is our profession, we should understand that Yeshua is going to evaluate us to tell us how we are doing. And so the Lord's letters to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 are evaluations on our effectiveness as employees. And whenever Yeshua gives an evaluation of one of the seven churches, there are five categories that he uses. And then there's a grade, of course, of it's superior, or it's good, or needs improvement, or just totally bad. You know, there's the different grade levels, but there's five categories. The first category in the evaluation process is the qualifications of the supervisor. Yeshua is the supervisor of the company. God the Father is the CEO, the founder, so to speak, and Yeshua is the vice president, the supervisor over all personnel. And then it means, as the qualifications of the supervisor in this first category, that the Lord has the authority to evaluate. So as you go through and you look at the letters to the seven churches, you're going to see at the beginning Yeshua talking about his qualification as a supervisor to give the evaluation. So when he sits across from you on the other side of the desk and he's talking to you about, this is how I'm rating your performance, you better listen, because he has the authority to evaluate. He's qualified to do it. The second category in the evaluation process is praise. Yeshua wants to praise us, to tell us what he's pleased with about our performance. These are the areas where we're going to get high marks, like superior or very good. But the third part of the evaluation process is criticism, or you could say it's critiquing a person. It's helpful suggestions. And this is what the Lord is upset about. This is something where we're getting a failing grade, or it's a poor grade, and he's telling us, listen, this is not good. Now, as a loving supervisor who wants every employee to excel, he's not going to just criticize us and leave us there. He's going to give us some advice on how to get better. So that's the fourth characteristic in this evaluation process, is advice. That's how to get back on track, how to do things right. And then the fifth part of the evaluation process is the challenge. This is the challenge to true believers within the company to hold fast to that which they have been taught. to be overcomers, to always be growing, to always get better at doing their jobs, and to know that if they do, they will be blessed. They will get a promotion. They'll get a raise. So again, the five parts of the evaluation process. Number one, the qualifications of the supervisor. Number two, praise. This is what the Lord is pleased with. Number three, criticism, what the Lord is upset about. Number four, advice, how to get back on track to make improvements. And number five, a challenge. If you make these improvements, then you will be compensated. That's the evaluation process. Now let's go to the first three of the seven churches to see how Yeshua uses these five characteristics of an evaluation for each of these three churches. And we're talking about the first one, which was Ephesus, the second one, Smyrna, and the third one, Pergamos. And these seven churches were on a mail route in Asia Minor. So a mailman would get off the boat, then he would go first to Ephesus, then Smyrna, then Pergamos, and then he'd get back on the boat after he finished with the seventh church. And we know that there were at least 10 churches in the area of Asia Minor spoken of in the Bible. So the seven churches represent the complete evaluation of the body of Christ all throughout the ages, and at any time throughout the ages. You're always going to find these characteristics of the seven churches. All right, so the first one we're going to talk about is Ephesus. And also, I'm going to give you a phrase that should help you to remember about the church, just a simple phrase that whenever you think about these seven churches, you can think about this simple phrase, and it will more or less remind you of all of the things that Yeshua was talking about in reference to each one of these churches. And so Ephesus represents the love that's lost. The love that's lost. Now, as we go to the qualifications of the supervisor, Yeshua holds seven stars and lampstands in his hand, meaning that he controls things in the spirit realm and on earth. He controls everything. When it comes to the praise, Yeshua says of the church at Ephesus that they did good works. They convicted false apostles as being fake, and they hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And these deeds of the Nicolaitans were abuses of church authority, where they told people to do things that they had no authority to tell them, whether it was something about their behavior or whether it was something doctrinal. And the church at Ephesus, they hated that. But there was some criticism, and the criticism is that they left their first love. In other words, perhaps because they were always fighting against wrong doctrine, they became very cold. They really cherished the truth more than relationships. So they left their first love, and they just kind of did things because that's what they were supposed to do, as opposed to really having love there. And the advice was to remember the intimacy that they had with God and that they had with the brethren through prayer, through Bible study, through singing, through fellowship, eating together. Get back to those things, just becoming friends with Yeshua and the Father and with the brethren. He tells them to repent of drifting away from that type of fellowship, that type of relationship, to return to the intimacy. The first thing is to remember, then it's to repent, then it's to return. And the challenge is that if you overcome, I will give you to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God, meaning that you can have eternal life. That's what that tree of life means. And you can indeed be in the paradise of God, where God is, dwelling with him in an intimate setting. Now when it comes to the church of Smyrna, Smyrna represents the persecuted and promoted. The persecuted and the promoted. The qualifications of the supervisor. Yeshua became dead and became alive again. This is very important because what they faced. He praised them because they faced persecution and poverty, but he said that they were rich in faith. Now the criticism, there is none. And the advice, because he has no criticism, there's no advice on how to get back on track. The challenge is simply this: don't fear death. You're going to be persecuted even to the point of death, but don't fear that, for if you endure and overcome, you will be given eternal life. You will be promoted. So where Yeshua became dead and became alive again, he's saying that to them because he knew that many of them would die, but reassured them that they would come back to life again through a resurrection from the dead. And then when we come to Pergamos, they represent the faithful and the fornicators. The faithful and the fornicators. The qualifications of the supervisor: Yeshua has the sharp sword with two edges, and this is also very important. The praise: they did not deny the faith. They did deny the fake fathers. And what this is talking about is they also had people that were Nicolaitans, and they had people who were following the teachings of Balaam, but many of them did not deny the faith. What they did was they denied these fake fathers, meaning these people that claimed that they had authority over them. Unfortunately, some did not deny the fake fathers. They followed the fake fathers. So therefore, the criticism is that some committed physical and or spiritual fornication. Some of them literally were practicing immorality and saying it was okay. And then others were involved in false doctrine and some wild ideas. That's the spiritual fornication, going after a false gospel, a fake God. So that was their criticism. And the advice is repent. And if you don't repent, you're going to be killed by the sharp sword with two edges. So when Yeshua says, I'm qualified, I have a sharp sword with two edges, and I'm going to use it to cut you off from a relationship with me if you don't cut off the teachings of Baal or Balaam and the teachings of the Nicolaitans, which again, that's teaching them to commit physical and spiritual fornication. Now the challenge: be an overcomer. Eat of the hidden manna. If you overcome, I will give to you to eat of the hidden manna, which we know that Yeshua is the manna which came down from heaven. It's hidden from people because people don't recognize Yeshua as the bread from heaven, the bread of life. But for us, it will not be hidden. And he says that we shall receive a white stone, and on that stone will be written a new name which no man can know until the appointed time. What that is saying is that this white stone is a ballot where Yeshua casts his ballot in favor of us. This is a stone ballot rather than a paper ballot like we use in voting processes today. This was a stone ballot. And he says, I'm going to cast this stone, meaning I'm going to cast my vote in your favor, saying that, yes, you are one of my children. And as proof of that, I'm going to give you a new name, which is my name. The fact that you are fully a child of God. And no one is going to know this name until the appointed time, meaning that no one can fully understand the characteristic and the nature of Yeshua until we become like Yeshua, which will occur after a resurrection from the dead, when we will have spirit-composed eternal bodies and we will be fully born again into the family of God. That's when we'll fully understand everything about Yeshua, because we will be fully like Yeshua. So great and wonderful pictures in the letters to the seven churches, and we'll come back to this after we answer some questions from our radio audience. Thank you for joining me in this series of programs. I hope you'll come back, and may God be in you.